past, man, this time went quick. So May month, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so let me just check this out right here. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so you know that I take mental health extremely serious. I'm not one of those cats that just say, hey, get over it. You know, quote these two scriptures and you should be good. And if you're not good, you're not really believing God hard enough. You know, if somebody hurts their arm, hurts their leg, we tell them, hey, go get checked out. But then if they're hurt in their mind or hurt emotionally, we say, hey, get over it. I just don't believe that. I believe that God is focused on and mindful of our entire selves, spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. So I spend time dealing with mental and emotional health. And so that's what this month of May has been. And so Wednesdays, I have been using this time to teach on managing emotions. And so this actually is the last time I'll teach on this, because next Wednesday, we will have our one and only couch time. That's something that we do during Mental Health Awareness Month. We have couch time. We kind of get into some conversations, some topics, just kind of flow with it, have special guests, all that kind of stuff. We actually have a special guest for next Wednesday. I'm excited about it. But this is the last message that I'm going to teach around this whole concept of managing emotions. And so I said, you know what I want to do? I want to have some special guests to join me, because when we have a special guest, we also have a time of Q&A, a time where guests can ask questions and we can go back and forth, and they can ask me questions and I can give some answers by direction of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to actually do tonight. All right. So I won't be on the screen by myself. I'm excited about it. So let's go ahead and bring on our virtual guest on the screen. To God be the glory. God, let me go ahead and get into this word. I've been teaching about this managing emotions, and it is so important and so key when it comes to control, self-control, dealing with this and dealing with that. You know, the first week when I talked about managing emotions, I even talked about dealing with the irritants, you know, because you can get all these techniques and all these tips and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't deal with some of the irritants, if you don't do what you need to do to protect your peace, you know, it's almost counterproductive. So we've been dealing with that. We've been talking about that last week. And matter of fact, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. Let me just go ahead and pick up where I left off so I can really get into this for the next few minutes. So King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the kings, one of the times that the Israelites were exiled, and it was King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he was an arrogant, prideful man. He made this statue that was 90 feet tall and represented himself. And so what he said was, when this music starts playing, everybody in the kingdom bows down to me, right? Everybody in the kingdom bows down to me. He was a narcissistic person, an arrogant person, an arrogant narcissistic ruler. And I'm gonna stay out of trouble tonight, but I would say the way that he was operating was really ungodly, because God doesn't deal with arrogance. It said that he resists the proud. That's what he says. And so he made this statue and said, hey, when the music plays, you bow down. And everybody did it except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then somebody told on them, hey, they're not bowing down. And they come before him. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you one more chance. When this music goes off, you better bow down. Right? And I told you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were like, nah. we ain't going to do it. And they said they were going to do it. And so what happened, let's pick up in the story. Matter of fact, pick up verse number 19. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 19. And I'm going to really flow through all this in these notes, because I want to get through some conversation at the end here. I don't have that much time. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. I've said this before. I can tell the level of your maturity. I can see it on your face. Listen, body language says so much. You cannot tell me that you're happy, you got a great attitude, and you sitting there with your all folded and a stank look on your face. Listen, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. So what happened? He got so furious and he went in this rage. And let me back up a little bit. He said that whoever doesn't bow down, this was already determined ahead of time. Whoever doesn't bow down, he's going to throw them in the midst of a fiery furnace. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down, they said, no, we're not going to do it. You see what happened, verse number 19? It said that his face became distorted with rage. This boy was in rage. It said he commanded that the furnace be heated seven times hotter than usual. I'm saying, listen, brother, regular fire would do it, but you're so angry, you're so irrational. You like, turn it up. You ain't barbecuing me. Turn it up. turn it up seven times harder, right? And then look, so look what happens in verse number 22. And because the king and his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men. What happened was he said, and it says it in one of the scriptures, that he got the strongest men in his army, the strongest soldiers, to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the fire. And because of his rage, because of being out of control, it said that the fire, because it was so hot, it lit them up and they burned. So what happened? This dude lost some assets to his kingdom because he could not control his rage. Which, come on now, how many things have you lost? How many things have you thrown away? How many relationships have you damaged because you could not control? Things that were an asset to you, you threw them away because of your rage. That's what we talked about. That was the actual message that we talked last week, was rage. He lost assets. He lost men because of the rage. And this is the thing, even though he repented, look at verse number 29, Daniel 3:29. Therefore, I make this decree. This is what he said. So what happens? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they get thrown in the fire. And then Jesus shows up, the fourth man, we believe that was Jesus, shows up, walking around in the fire. They don't burn, clothes don't burn, and all that kind of stuff. He calls them out. Oh my, he said, I thought we threw three men in the fire. I see four. He calls them out. And then look what he says. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people whatsoever, their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. In other words, he went full circle. This dude he wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshiped. The real God shows up, protects Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, calls him out of the fire. And basically what he does right here, basically he repents. Basically he turns, he has a turn of heart. But I need you to hear this, what I said last week. Although he repented, it did not take away the damage that he caused. Although he repented, he still lost assets. And I saw a question. It was Big Tate. I saw the question and almost answered it. He said, well, how do you deal with stuff that you've damaged? And that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother time. But what we got to understand when it comes to taking responsibility where we are, God is a forgiver. God forgives. Takes your sin, throws in the sea of forgiveness. As the scripture says, he actually throws it behind his back. God forgives. God moves on. People don't always move on. And you got to keep this in mind. We've got to keep this in mind that although God forgives us, some things we do causes this damage, man, and it is just there. And so we need to be very mindful of that. So this is the title of tonight, what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. Here we go. I let my emotions get the best of me. I let my emotions get the best of me. And I know none of y'all have ever been in a place where your emotions got the best of you. I know y'all calm, cool, and collected, and y'all never had an issue. But I know I can look back in my life and say there are times when I let my emotions get the best of me. Now, think about the times where you've said something or you've done something. Think about the moments that you wish you could take back where your emotions got the best of you. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32, the New English Translation says this. It says, better to be slow to anger than to be a mighty warrior. And one who controls his temper is better than one who conquers a city. Listen, let me just be honest, real, and transparent. And I thank God that there's a lot of you, that most of you, almost all of you, maybe except for my family, almost all of you have never seen the rage side of Dominic Woods. I used to have a major issue with managing my emotions. And this is the thing you got to understand. I know I'm not alone, because this is the thing. If it were easy and simple to manage anger, to manage emotions, a scripture like this would not need to be in the Bible. You can tell the difficulty of this concept of managing the emotion and the anger based on that scripture. It said it's better to be slow to anger than to be a mighty warrior. One who controls his temper is better than one who captures the city. The New Living Translation says better to be patient than powerful. Oh my goodness. Oh Jesus. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. The Good News translation says, it is better to be patient than to be powerful. It is better to win control over yourself than a whole nation, a whole city. You hear that? Win control. You can defeat everybody externally and lose internally. I don't care. You know, when you look at certain athletes, I love sports, and you look at certain athletes, and there's certain athletes I'm like, man, he's a great athlete, but he's a horrible individual. He cannot control himself. I can name somebody right now, but I won't, just in case I meet him one day. I want him to look back at this. This dude he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a four-time champion, but he cannot control himself. He can control everybody on the court except for himself. Come on now. You got to win control over yourself. And the God's Word translation says this. It says, better to get angry slowly than to be a hero. Dr. V is a veteran. To me, veterans are heroes, man. And it said it's better to be get angry slowly than to be a hero. Better to be even tempered than to capture a city. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. To be even tempered. I think it was the Passion Translation. It talked about having a reputation to be known for being calm. That is a good thing. Listen, because the reality is this: when you're around a hothead, man, you just listen. Sometimes you walk on eggshells. You either walk on eggshells or you walk like this, because you know at any moment it's going to pop off, because if you just say the slightest thing. So you got to manage your emotions, be even tempered. That is so important. Understand that we're in a time and an age. You know, I was thinking about this. Let me be transparent again. You know, one thing that I always say, you know, Sonia, you're brand new. You're going to hear me say this a lot of times. I say this all the time. If I use myself as an example, you can't get offended. I always say that, right? Let me use myself as an example. Let me self-disclosure. Let me just repent, right? It's good for the soul. I still got an issue when I'm driving my car. It is one of the things that can set me off like nothing else. When I'm driving the car, minding my business, trying to follow the rules, because I'm a rule follower when I'm driving, and somebody cuts me off, somebody runs a stop sign, all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to drop my daughter off. I'm trying to, you know, talk to her, encourage her, baby, have a good day, and, you know, you're great, and God is all that kind of, and then somebody does something stupid, and then all of a sudden, I start getting furious to the point that I have to repent. But this is the thing. Let me tell you, one of the things I was thinking about was this. All this anger and all this rage, man, listen, we live in a time now where people are out their mind. And we're seeing people do some stuff, man, shooting and all that kind of stuff over, you know, whatever. So I'm like, man, I can just, it ain't that big of a deal. Let me just keep my comments to myself. I need to be even tempered and controlled. Now, let me read something to you that the Dakes Bible said, the Dakes Study Bible, in reference to this verse right here, Proverbs 16:32, it said this. This is what he said. He said, conquest and self-control within are better than conquest of enemies without. Many conquerors have subdued nations and yet have been slaves to their own passions. Alexander, talking about Alexander the Great, conquered the world, but was a slave to intemperate anger. In a fit of anger, he slew Cletus, his best and most loved friend, regretted it afterwards. Let me read something a little further. Did a little bit of studying about this whole interaction with him. And I may not even say his name right. Alexander the Great and Cletus. So both of them got intoxicated. Both of them got drunk, got into a little altercation, got into an argument. And this is what it said. It said, in a drunken rage, Alexander the Great initially tried to restrain himself, but after repeated insults and mockery, he grabbed a spear and fatally struck Cletus. Alexander was immediately overwhelmed with remorse. According to ancient sources, he attempted to take his own life out of guilt, but was stopped by his soldiers. He mourned deeply and withdrew from public life for days. This incident is often cited as a turning point in his personal descent into emotional and psychological instability. My goodness, man. We got to listen, man. We got to control. There are things on this planet that you and I cannot control. We cannot control. But what I'm saying is control what you can control. And when you look throughout the Proverbs and you look throughout the scripture, we'll look at a few other scriptures here. When you look throughout these scriptures, it is obvious that you and I play a part in managing our emotions. Now, I'm talking a lot about anger, but there's a lot of different emotions, but that's what I'm really talking about. We must learn to manage and master our emotions and our emotional outbursts. Let me say it again. We must learn to manage and master our emotions and our emotional outbursts. Now, listen, I want you to hear something. I need you to hear something. This is so that I need you to get this right here. I said manage. I did not say suppress them. Suppressing emotions, suppressing feelings, avoiding conversations, all that stuff, pretending like it's not there, all of that stuff is extremely, extremely dangerous. I'm talking about managing, not suppressing. Listen, we got a quick video we're going to show you. Go ahead and play that video.
Can I offer some clarity between managing emotions and suppressing emotions? Because once again, I think some folks are getting confused on this. You know, often when people hear any reference to managing emotions, they automatically interpret that to being synonymous with suppressing emotions. But there's a critical distinction between the two. Suppressing emotions means denying they exist. It's bottling them up, pushing them down, and pretending they don't matter. And that's dangerous. It creates internal instability, like sealing off a pressure valve and expecting a system not to blow. Eventually, those suppressed emotions are going to come out, and many times, they'll come out in dramatic fashion. Now, managing emotions is something else entirely. Managing emotions is the ability to notice what you're feeling, to name what you're feeling, and then to decide whether your reaction to a trigger will be proportionate to the situation you're facing. It's the practice of responding thoughtfully, not recklessly. You know, emotions are signals and guides that point us towards what matters, but they don't always tell the full story. And too often we let big feelings dictate our responses to small problems, and we'll call it necessary and honest. In reality, when our big feelings lead to disproportionately big reactions over small issues, it's actually a sign that something deeper within us needs to be resolved. So let's not twist wisdom into weakness. The goal was never emotional suppression. Now, the goal is to steward your emotions well, not silence them. And your growth depends on knowing the difference.
Wow, that's so good. And he said so much. He said so much. Listen, understand this. Anger is part of life. Okay? Anger is part. Even when I'm training leaders, even when over the years, a few decades of training leaders and leadership development, I've even said there are times when people need to know that you're bothered. There are times when people need to know that's not okay. That wasn't okay. So anger is a part of life, but in expressing our anger, we cannot cross the line. That's the part that we gotta manage right there. We cannot cross the line. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, it says, be ye angry. It says, and we got to get this next part, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry and sin not. So you can get angry, but you can sure flip that thing into sin. The other side of your anger, the other side of the coin can determine whether or not you slip into sin. You get to cussing people out, and now you want to get physical, catch these hands, and all that kind of stuff. Man, listen. It's okay if you get angry, but not sin. I love what the Passion Translation says. It says, but don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, my Lord and my God. Let me go back to the Jeremiah Study Bible, the scripture that we looked at earlier, Proverbs 16:32, the New King James Version. So the New King James Version said this: he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes the city. This is what the Jeremiah Study Bible said about that. He said this. He said, the ability to restrain anger is developed as a person yields to the Lord's control and the Holy Spirit's leading. Anger is like an unbridled horse. Unless you tame it, we are at its mercy. My goodness, we have to manage it. We have to control it. Let me end, let me close with this story, this part of the Bible. And I'm just going to read through it because, you know, the Bible preaches itself, and then I'll pull out a few things. In Exodus, there is a man by the name of Moses who is sent by God to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh, let the people of God go. They were in bondage. They were in captivity. They were in slavery. And not only were they slaves, but it was like chattel slaves. It's like what Africans went through here in this country. There were, you know, in different parts of the world, when folks were slaves, a lot of times they were like servants, and they actually could earn their freedom. I mean, they could even earn political roles within the community, all that kind of stuff. But America, and then even what Pharaoh did, was called like chattel slavery, where you treat somebody like an animal, like a piece of equipment. And so Pharaoh got to that place to where he was treating the children of Israel like that. And so God sent Moses to go and deal with Pharaoh. And he confronts Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, smart mouth, disrespectful, who's God, this, that, all that kind of stuff. God says, I'm about to show out. And he releases all these plagues, frogs, gnats, turns water into blood, all kinds of things to get Pharaoh's attention. The final the final judgment, plague number 10, would be the death of all the firstborns, all the firstborn in the land. So that means Pharaoh's son and his, you know, his staff's first, all that kind of, it even said that the animals firstborn would die. And so that night, the death angel went through Egypt, killed all the firstborn. The children of Israel were protected. They were covered with the blood. They were released. Pharaoh finally said, get up out of here. Take everything. Take your stuff, your people. Get up out of here. Just leave. And one of the translators, he said, and when you leave, bless me before you go. So they left out of there. But then, of course, Pharaoh, hard-headed, said, wait a minute. Why in the world do we let that free labor go? That's what we're going to pick up in the story. Children of Israel, they are getting out of Egypt, and now they're at a place called the Red Sea. And look at Exodus chapter 14, verse number 5. The King James, New King James said this. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. In other words, they were angry. Their hearts were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? Verse number 6, so he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Verse number 7, also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. Listen, you see how angry the boy is? This boy, he's taking everything. He's taking all his arsenal, taking all these chariots, and in a rage, I'm using that word rage, he is now going after the children of Israel. And verse number 9 says, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, the horsemen with them. Now, what happens is the children of Israel, they're at the edge of the Red Sea, and they're saying, hey, what's going on? God, help us, all that kind of stuff. God says, listen, you know, Moses, take your rod. Moses taps that rod, man, opens up the Red Sea, parts the Red Sea, and they're going to walk through this. And I want you to, let's pick up on the story in verse number 19. And the angel of God, so here goes the children of Israel. They're walking. Here comes Pharaoh's army behind Pharaoh and his army. And it says, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So what happened was this. God would lead his people with the pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud now is in front of them and goes behind them. Pharaoh and his people see this. They see this pillar go between them and the people. Look at verse number 19. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, that it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave a light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all night. Pharaoh and his army, they're seeing this. They see this pillar, the children of Israel doing well. They got the light. and they're in the dark. You would think when you see something like that, you know what? Maybe we should pump our brakes. We got to give a second thought. Verse number 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back and strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters divided. Verse 22, so the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea and the dry land, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand to the left hand. Verse 23, look at this right here, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horses. Okay, you saw the pillar, you didn't stop. Now you see a sea split open, ground dry, walls of the water, and you still gonna go in after who you chasing after. Verse number 24, now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and cloud. Look at this. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Look at 25. And he took off their chariot wheels. I'm going to talk about all this in a second. So that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, look at this. Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. You just realizing that? After all these plagues and this and that. And you just realizing that? Let us flee. Okay. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on the chariots, on the horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 28, then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all of the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and left. So let me summarize with this. What can we take away from this? Four things we can take away from this, from what we just saw. Number one is this. Don't let your rage, your angry pursuit be void of common sense. You get in such a rage, you're not even using your head. You are pursuing. When you get angry, it is this pursuit to where all logic, anything that makes any kind of sense, you throw it out. What in the world, Pharaoh, would make you think that you can, I mean, when you see something, it don't blow your mind enough to stop, but you in such a rage, you lose all your common sense. You don't even say, hey, this don't make no sense. You ain't even saying that. The average person would have said, this don't make sense, but that's what happens when you get in a rage. They were so angry, they pursued with blinders. That's what happens sometimes when you get so angry. You get those blinders on, and you can't see nothing but your target. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. The second thing we can learn is this, kind of almost the same thing. Your emotions will have you make a decision in the moment with the mentality, I'll just deal with the fallout later. My goodness, come on now. You get in such a rage, you don't think about you forget about the consequences. Forget that, bump that, man. You forget about consequences. I'll deal with it later. You always, you know, this is the thing. The moment always makes you think you're bigger than you are. When you get in this rage, you get focused, you get locked in, and you're like, I'll deal with it later. Okay, you think you're gonna deal with it later. You think you're gonna deal with it later. The third thing we picked from this what we just saw was this: your emotions can take you to the point of no return. Remember when they said, let's get up out of here, too late, buddy. Let's turn around, too late, buddy. That's what happens when you get in this rage, out of control. You can get to the place of no return. Now you've gone too far. You didn't take heed to the warnings. You didn't back down. You should have backed down. Now you have the place of no return. And the last thing that we learn is this. It said in verse 25 that God took the wheels off of their chariots. This is what I want you to realize. They rushed in, see verse 25, and he took off the wheels of the chariots. Verse 25 said that, right? And then look at this. So this is the thing. They rushed in and then got stuck. He took the wheels off. They couldn't move. So they rushed in and got stuck. So they rolled in quickly on wheels. And that's what happens with uncontrolled anger. The fourth thing we learn is this. You rush into something quickly, but you don't get out of it as quickly as you got into it. Let somebody who has had issues tell you this. I'm trying to help you. This rage, this focus, this anger, removing the blinders, got the blinders on, not paying attention. I'll deal with it later. I get into it quickly. I rush into it quickly. This impulsive response. You don't get out of it as quick as you got into it. Think about how many people get a life sentence because of a moment of passion. So angry, so furious, did something extreme and got a life sentence. We have got to deal with these emotions so our emotions don't get the best of us. My Lord and my God. Listen, let's go to these questions and answers. As our bishop said, you can't take no more of this. I can't take no more of this. I could tell y'all some stories, man. I'm telling you, I could tell y'all some stories. If I had time, I would. And I would tell you just so that you can learn from my own foolishness and my stupidity. So listen, let's do this. I'm gonna go to Sonia, I'm gonna go to Raquel, and then Austin's, we're gonna talk. Okay. So Sonia, our new member. I saw that precious baby that you had. You don't understand how blessed my heart is. I'll be asking sometimes for people to come on like this and guess, and they got all kinds of excuses. And here you are with a baby on here. So bless your heart, Sonia.
Thank you.
Do you have a question in regards to what we talked about, the soul managed emotions that we talked about?
I like to say, Pastor, I have had a moment of rage. And like you said, that moment of passion and rage, it took a lot to get myself out of that. And when I thought about the situation, why was I so mad and passionate? It could have been an easier way I could have handled that. And I know I used to get caught in the moments of that. And so I really like the message that the video that we had about compressing, because I kind of confuse myself sometimes when I don't want to speak up for myself because I don't want to get into a rage and I just like to think, positive about things. I want to know, I often question myself, am I suppressing my feelings? Should I say something about it? Or what is this giving to me? And so I get kind of confused with that.
That's so awesome. I'm going to tell you, listen. So listen, I'm telling you something. The more you're around, the more you're going to hear me talk about this often.
Okay.
I don't believe in ignoring issues.
Okay.
Because the reality is issues don't go away.
No.
What I tell folks when I'm talking to the leaders and talking to them about when it comes to people, that we need to deal with issues in the infant stage, in the embryo stage. Because what happens is issues grow.
Yes.
And it could have been dealt with in the embryo state, but a lot of times we say stuff like, well, you know, I don't want to stir the pot. Yes. I don't want to offend anybody. If I say something, right, I want to just keep the peace. And the reality is, first of all, it's a very false peace that we think we're keeping.
Okay.
And maybe that person is peaceful, but we're tormented inside.
Yes.
And one thing that I say is this, what you compromise to keep, you'll lose every time.
Okay.
What's going to happen is there's going to come a time where you can't appease that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to do what they do. And so I'm really big on addressing issues. I think that we are supposed to confront, deal with, address issues. Now, I think that we can, I think that it is a technique. I think it is a skill set when it comes to addressing issues, because let me tell you what happens sometimes. Let me tell you what I used to do a lot is I used to suppress things.
Okay.
Right. And it's like what that video said. It was like a pressure cooker. I'll use that. I would suppress, and then I would explode.
Yes.
And it would come out in the worst way at the worst time. Exactly. And I would do a lot of damage.
Yes.
Could have been, like you said, I could have probably dealt with that a different way. Because what happens is a lot of times some people go from 0 to 100. Like that. Some people, that's just the way they're made up. right? There's a lot of people though, it's like the, I showed a picture last week of boiling water. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that it's, you know, boiling, it's just 1 degree off, but it's heating up. And the issue is a lot of times you can't see that water heating up. You can't see it till it's boiling. And so what happens is sometimes we don't even know how hot we're getting. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to not suppress. I think that's unhealthy. Our Bishop Giddens, he says this. He said this a long time ago. He said a confrontational conversation is an attempt to preserve relationship. So if the relationship is important enough, you got to have the conversation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about telling the truth in love. If you really love somebody, you're going to be honest with them. And this is the reality. If they really love you, they're going to allow you to tell the truth. Because see, if you can't be yourself around people, and you can't be yourself around somebody, that's, and I don't know your situation, so I'm not trying to tell you, I ain't trying to tell you to go off on somebody. Please get that. But what I'm saying is this, if you cannot be yourself around people, you're around the wrong people. If I have to change up who I am, if I have to walk around eggshells every time I come around somebody, I don't need to be around that person. If I can't be myself, so they want me to allow them to be who they are, but I can't share my heart. If I share my heart, you're going to get offended. You're going to listen. So, you know, I think that you need to really give some time, pray through this and figure out where are you suppressing, right? Now, I'm not saying, and this is the thing, I think you pick and choose your battles also, because like, for instance, I see so many things on social media, on Facebook that I see. I don't know. I mean, I probably can count on one finger. I don't know if I've ever really jumped on somebody's page and made a comment. And I see stupid stuff like all the time. I mean, I probably post stupid stuff, but I know I see stupid stuff all the time. I want to post something. I want to go off on somebody. But listen, everything does not require a response, right? I got to pick and choose my battles, man. If it's somebody in my house that I see every day, I live with, I got to deal with that. But if it's some idiot at the gas station or what, So I think you really need to pray, assess. Look at your life. I talked about the first week. I talked about protecting your peace at all costs and really identifying what are the irritants. What are the things that may be stirring some stuff up and address that. So I hope that kind of helped in your processing and your thinking. So, okay. Awesome. And listen, the more you're around me, trust me, you're going to hear this kind of stuff all the time. I'm big on it. I'm big on it. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
Raquel, what's your question?
Hi, Pastor D.
Hey.
My question is related to kind of like the first message you were teaching about protecting your peace. And then, of course, this one as well with managing your emotions. And you're talking about, you know, the people that are agitating. You opened by talking about how, you know, some believers can be talking about like you're not spiritual enough or you're, you know, not praying enough. And I'm someone, I used to really struggle with anger as well. And you're laughing because you know, but I'm not saying like, you know, like it's a master, but I'm a lot better because I did a lot of intentional work during the pandemic, a lot of intentional work, talking to God, asking to show me myself or show me how to like overcome that, because that's just a terrible way to live. To just be, you know, angry, like ready to pop off at any second. But anyway, so I, like I said, I've done a lot of work in that area and I'm still continuing to work. And you said something earlier where you're talking about anger is a part of life. And that's something that I need to hear, because sometimes there can be people that they know the work that I put in. So if they see me getting angry, they're kind of like wanting to say something, but I'm trying to be very conscientious about what I say or do in anger, especially if it's where it's in a setting with other people, because I don't want to go into that sinning, you know, be angry, but sin not. And so how do you like balance the people that are believers that, you know, are trying to encourage you, but are actually telling you to like suppress it instead of manage it? Like, how do you balance managing it, but also like explaining to people that it's that you're trying to manage it, but like not suppress it? Because it, I don't know if I'm making sense. They're trying to make you suppress it, by saying, you know, just pray about it and putting a stop to it in that moment instead of letting you express how you're feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things is this, but keep in mind, okay? A lot of times when people are that way, their intentions are good. Okay. Their intentions are good. Right. And so I'm very mindful of that kind of stuff. You know, somebody's intentions, not that it necessarily gives a pass, but I'm very mindful of that. Right. It's a difference if you're really just trying to like belittle me, you know what I'm saying? And you're just coming at me, trying to belittle me versus if you have good intentions. Right. That type of thing. So kind of keep that in mind. Another thing is this, you know, hey, listen, you are grown. You live on your own. You pay your own bills. You owe no one an explanation. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Thank you.
You owe nobody an explanation for why you do what you do and how you do what you do. Keep that in mind. So don't put pressure on yourself to, like, you know, you don't have to be the one that whatever. You know what I'm saying? Now, when it comes to, like, you know, what are the suppressing this and that, you know, you can reference our Savior. Like, we take a scripture when it says he's like, you know, how's the scripture go? What's my Bible people? He was. What does the scripture say about Jesus being silent? What's the King James way of saying it? I can't think of it right now. But we take that scripture and we think that Jesus said nothing. You can't read the Gospels and not see a Savior that did not confront foolishness. That's what he did his whole public ministry. Because he had foolish people. He had the religious leaders and then his own folks, his own disciples that he handpicked were foolish, got foolish. That was what he did nonstop. He addressed issues. And this is what the thing. Last week, you looked at Philippians 2:3, which said, I do nothing through strife or vainglory. If your motives are pure and you're always checking your motives, it's okay if you confront and deal with issues. You don't need to suppress. Why do you need to stay silent? Why do you need to suppress? Listen, you're one of my leaders and you've heard me teach this. We deal with issues because they're issues. We don't deal with issues because we're upset. We don't deal with issues because, you know, if you don't deal with the issue because of an issue, you'll deal with it. It'll be circumstance. If you get upset, you'll finally deal with it. Or if it's somebody you like, you won't say anything. We deal with issues because they're issues. If there is an issue that needs to be addressed, we address it. That's what Jesus did. There were things that needed to be addressed. I taught this. If you look in Mark chapter 11, when he goes in there into the temple, turns tables over, makes that whip. If you look at the scripture, I taught this. You look at the scripture, the day before he came in and he peeped everything out. And so when he went in the next day, it wasn't this tantrum. It wasn't this, it was a very intentional. He needed to do that. He needed to flip those tables over. Because they were taking the house of God and being so disrespectful, he had to deal with that. There are issues that have to be addressed. And if we come into the room already thinking, I'm going to suppress everything, I'm going to push everything down, I'm super spiritual if I just keep my mouth shut and I don't say anything, you're going to be super spiritual, but you're going to be super stressed out. You're going to be an emotional and mental wreck if you don't say stuff. So people that are trying to get you not to say anything, don't say anything. So what are you going to do? Just let it keep being horrible? You're just good. If folks are doing things that are irritants, they're doing it for one of two reasons. Either they don't know what they're doing or they know what they're doing. Either way, you got to address it. If somebody doesn't know what they're doing and they keep coming around you, they're going to keep doing it. So you have to address it. I just don't believe in ignoring issues. I don't think that that's a healthy way to live and to deal with stuff. So, you know, people telling you, hey, you don't say anything or whatever. you know, they're saying something to you. Right? So the same one saying, don't say anything, they say something to you. So what do you do? Right? Do we say something or not? Because you say something to me. So you want me to shut up, but you talking. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So I hope that kind of helped. I hope that.
That did a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay, cool. With now the Austins, my incredible, awesome, anointed, witty people, you all have probably a lot of the perspective I have in the sense that we're pastors. And we gotta, you know, I mean, we gotta deal with it, and then we still gotta be in love. You know, the church is agape church, right? They are the love church. so they gotta tell the truth in love, right? What y'all heard a lot tonight. Y'all have experienced a lot pastoring. What's your take on this whole concept of emotions, mental health, emotional health, you know, anger, this, that, when we speak, when we don't speak? What's your thoughts?
Well, we definitely don't have enough time to get into all of it. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, thank you so much for even allowing us to be your surprise. I don't have much of a voice, so I'm going to just share to my sisters who were on. Sonia, God bless you. I can't wait to meet you in the New Life family and the baby that you got in the screen with you popping in and out. And my sister, I just want to share this thought even about emotions, because most times it seems like we carry it around in our purses, ladies. we like bag ladies. We got quite a few, and we pull out our tricks of emotions, especially when we're addressed in a certain way. But I like to specifically say something to the last question that when you're talking with someone, we have to have our spirit of discernment. We got to have the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And red flagging who we should be even trusting people with our truth with. Because sometimes we could be telling our emotions about something and they want it to suppress. Because like he said, you talking and they tell you to stop talking so they can talk. Most times you talking to the wrong sister. She's trying to tell you, all right, you pray about yours. Let me tell you about mine. And God don't, that's not counsel. That's not wisdom. That's not the word to see who can one up on issues, one up on, well, you know, sister such and such said this to me. Well, let me tell you what she said to me. Your issue wasn't like with the way she spoke to me. Man, let all of that go. Let all of that go. You know, as you were talking, Pastor D, I thought about the text in Proverbs where it says a soft answer turns away wrath. A lot of times we hear that text, people of God, and we're thinking outwardly, the soft answer will turn away the wrath of the people. But I love how my brother was talking about folks that just get turned up. Pastor D, you telling on yourself, but you also told on us over here, because I think we all got a temper issue. But if we allow that scripture to be internalized, we use it as an application for ourselves, apply to it, then we give the soft answer. It turns away the wrath within ourselves. We're always looking for somebody else to be turned. Woo-hoo. But God says the inside job works within you. Mm-hmm. You want an outward outcome, but you ain't got no income. God is looking for us to change first inwardly. We won't see nothing outwardly unless we change inwardly. Mm-hmm. And so people of God, if you're sitting down with somebody and they just want to share their peace or they want to one up you, then let that be the spirit of the Lord to say, beloved, that ain't it. And just say, bless you. I love how Dr. Elaine said, when people show you themselves, believe them.
Yeah.
Believe them and realize I don't get my spiritual counsel from you. I hear where you're at. You've heard where I'm at. and we didn't bring no resolve of the scriptures within it. So then you move on. You ain't got to sit there and stay in no conversation with somebody who's going to just give you rhetoric. No, I need some restoration. I need some repentive talk here. I need some scriptures that's going to help me to hold and reserve and help me to give a soft answer. Now, I love how sisters that you do sit down and talk with, and this even goes for the brothers, but I'm just speaking from a woman's point of view, because for whatever reason, we ladies, we love to talk. So when we're giving each other counsel, if we're not coming from the scriptures, just hit them with the beloved. That ain't it. That ain't it. And I love you. I love you. I thank you for hearing what I did share with you, and we just gonna leave it right there and let the Lord work on it.
That ain't it.
That ain't it, beloved. It's not it. What you got, Dr. V?
It's hard to follow all of y'all preachers and teachers. But here's the thing. This is what I've learned over the years, especially since I tend to have that proverbial gift of gab. I'm never short on words, and especially in the very machine gun fashion in which I give them. So I have to be mindful to guard this mouth. You said on last week's Edify, Pastor D, about how you are not short or a stranger to the content of rage. I said, now he's telling my story over there. Amen to that. Okay. If y'all ever get just plain old Vincent, all you're going to get is anger. I have one default setting. I have no other emotion except for anger.
He's telling the truth.
I get angry at eggs. I get angry on cloudy days. I get angry at traffic signals, slow drivers. I get angry at puppies, monkeys, and babies. I get angry. But the point is this, right? When we're dealing with people who don't conduct themselves correctly, we have to remember we don't have to dignify everything with a response. Right? The word alludes to, and some poets have you know, connected the word to this particular statement, right? It's better to remain silent and seem as if you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. When you're angry, if you're angry, and you know, when you're ready to clap back, okay? But I believe it was the prophet Mike Tyson who says, everybody got a plan to say something stupid that you punch in the mouth. Now, I know that you're not supposed to hear that from a preacher. I'm just saying. I've been punched enough and done enough punching to know you don't need to talk to everybody the way you're not feeling right about it. Amen? And so a lot of those life lessons have helped me in my pastoral walk.
And Jesus didn't, he didn't speak. He didn't speak to everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, silence is strength. Silence is strength, and silence, it also gives the way for the Holy Spirit to
But I will tell you this though, silence is golden, as they say, but duct tape is silver. And I got some of that too. Listen, if you're really gonna work on, y'all ain't gonna have me back. That's all right. I'm taking my time while I got it now. Y'all, I'm coming in September. I'm unloading all of it.
In September.
I'm only coming for the weekend. We got to talk about that too. I need some expansive time, more exposure to the folks. Right? I'm coming for some that men's meeting. We need to have one of those. It don't matter. Look, we'll talk about it offline. But here's the thing: if you're truly going to be delivered from people, you first have to be delivered from yourself. Remember, you're people too. So from your anger. Right? Romans talks about practicing righteousness. So even in that, the first and foremost place that I practice my proper speech every day is with the one that God has given me. Right? God has given all of us family. I know he said, beloved Raquel, you working, you know, you're living at home by yourself. But guess what? You know, a lot of times the first place that we lie is to us. The first place that we rehearse our angry things. If she would have said, right? But we have to rehearse our righteous talk even with ourselves.
Yes.
Because whatever in you abundantly is what will come out of you eventually.
Is on. I love the examples that Pastor D brought out with what happened with Moses and Pharaoh. They both had anger issues.
But you can't reverse the rage.
You can't.
Once the rage has happened, right? Even if you've come to repentance, guess what? The reciprocation and the residual effect of your temporary moment.
The consequences.
The consequences will still follow. You can't get out of that.
You can't.
Man.
And God, he blesses us, but he don't bless mess. He'll allow the consequence to be fulfilled.
Right.
To go forward.
He'll redeem the time, right, of what was lost, but he's going to catch you up. He ain't going to clean up your mess, though.
Right. He's a merciful God, but he's not going to remove punishment.
That's right. So if you hear me there at home, New Life, put it in your chatter and your box.
Smash it in the box.
Watch your mouth. Now,
watch
I'm from a little
mouth.
Village.
Your mouth.
So it's M-O-U-F. Watch your mouth.
Watch your, put that in the comment. Watch your smash mouth. It.
Capitals, mouth.
Mouth. Watch your mouth, because it's your mouth that leads you to do those destructive things that Pastor D just ministered on. It was Pharaoh's mouth. It was the people with Pharaoh that says, what did we just do? I don't want them to go now. And because they talked about it, they went to go and be about it.
That's right.
And because they said what they said, it caused their feet to run after their own words. Your words become foot soldiers, and it puts things out there. I feel my voice coming back. I'm going to shut up, though. We got to watch our mouth, like Dr. B said. We got to watch our mouth, because our mouth helps put the fuel and the fire to our feet. And before you know, we're going to be swimming with the horsemen and Pharaoh. Or we're going to get burnt up like the men that tried to throw somebody else in the fire. I love these stories that you brought out, because the people of God, sometimes we listen to you, holy man of God, and we hear you preaching and teaching, and we only hear the faith side. But God also wants you to learn something from the foolish side.
Yeah.
You teaching faith about what Moses did and the people of Israel, and they trusting God. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro, they all trusted the Lord. And he was with them in the water. He was with them in the fire. But what about the foolish part of that faith story?
Right.
And that's we learn on both sides, where you're either you're in the spirit and being led by the spirit, or you're walking like the sinner. And God says, even in both, you can learn that God is God, and we can be delivered. We can be delivered. We ain't got to do foolish stuff like the holy man of God said, and he read us line by line how our mouth will get us in trouble. I believe that's what the scripture said. It's like a little flickering fire.
There in James 3 and 6. Y'all go ahead and get that. James 3, 6 says the tongue is a fire starter.
Boom. And before you know
it, will consume your whole body included. Yes, ma'am.
But we got to watch our mouth, like Dr. V said. And people, God, hear the holy man of God. Pastor D, I'm telling you, you brought up some great text, but look at both sides of the story so you can learn who God is.
Yeah.
He's not mocked.
Yep.
And you can't say whatever you want and go out and do whatever you want and think you ain't going to get a consequence from it.
Yeah. My goodness. Listen, Austin's, listen. Oh, my goodness. What absolute wisdom, practical wisdom, theologically sound. I appreciate everything you just shared. And with the caveat of watch your mouth. That's what it comes down to it. Watch even what you said. Listen, some people you got to trust. Some people you can't trust. You can't just say anything around everybody, because some people you just can't trust. And there is a balance. There is a balance. There is a time. Let me say this. Because, you know, some of you talked about it, Raquel, you talked about it. There definitely is a time where we need to remain silent. But it's not so much because of the issue, it's about the person. See, I do believe that we don't ignore issues, but sometimes it's not about the issue, it's about the person. Like, that's the person can't be trusted. The person is foolish. You're not gonna, if you look all throughout the Proverbs, it talks about a fool would take lashes on the back, they still don't change. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna bring logic to a fool, because I've taught this before. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there's no God. Being a fool is a heart condition, and only God can deal with that change that you're not going to out talk a fool. You're just not going to do it. And so there are some times where it's like, it's not a matter of, it's a matter of sometimes protecting your peace is really based on who's your audience. Right? The Bible says to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. There are some people that are they don't even have pure motives when they're coming at you. They're not trying to resolve, trying to solve. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to, I said it some years ago. I can't remember. Some people just got to put them in the foolish box. What did I say? I think put them in the silly box. Something like that. I said, you got to put them in the silly box. Some people just, that's the category they live in. They're the silly box. And, you know, so sometimes there is the time where, hey, listen, in order to protect my peace, I'm going to stop. How do I know when to stop? When you're going back and forth and you just, like, she's like, one guy's be trying to one up. At some point, just stop. Let's see. What do you say? Beloved, that ain't it.
Beloved, that's not it.
Bless you. I love you. But, you know, we good. Let's just, you know what I'm saying? So,
that's her. I'm saying, take these with you.
hey, Pessimist is one of these.
It's not it. You're so right, Pastor D. The silence is where it's at. You know, it's in our stillness that you show the strength of God within yourself. But if God is not, well, God is God, and he can deal with the foolish heart. He can deal with the people in the silly box as you put them in there. But he won't speak with them, and they can't hear him if you talk to him. So silence is good. You got to keep quiet sometimes, because sometimes even when you're speaking with somebody who's not being silly, and we just got two strong-willed people trying to say what they need to say, sometimes you got to be still and let God be God.
Yes, ma'am. But let's also make personal and practical application. I hate to leave that out there, right? We're talking so much that we can't hear the Holy Spirit.
We can't even
hear my Pastor Steve, why? You keep saying the Holy Spirit is there with me. He's the paraclete. He's my helper. You're talking too much. This is why God gave you one mouth and two ears, so you can hear and stop talking.
Wait, check this out. To hear your pastor and hear the Holy Spirit. Shut up.
We're done. We love y'all.
God be good. Listen, my wonderful guests, thank you so much. They're going to put y'all in a green room. I love you all. Thank you all so much. They're going to put you in a green room. I'm going to see you here in a second. Man, what an awesome time we had tonight, and what a way to end this final message on the managing motion. Like I said, next Wednesday to be somebody doing our we'll do a couch time. This is a wonderful time, great insight, great wisdom. I appreciate all four of the guests and their questions, their comments, their all that stuff. It's just so rich, so awesome. And I pray that you have just gained something over these last few weeks. And if you need to go back and watch things and rewatch things, you know, it really is about revelation that you catch. It really is about revelation that you get. When Jesus said, who do men say I am? And some say you're this, some you say that. And then Peter finally said, thou art the Christ. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Understand that there are things I can teach you, but the Holy Spirit gives you the revelation. And so if you go back and you look and you get in the scripture, there's so many times where I'm listening, I'm rewatching the service that our bishop, you know, because a lot of times the services are congruent. I'm rewatching a message that bishop taught. And and sometimes he's not necessarily even talking about a specific topic, but the Holy Spirit will talk to me about it. Triggers and leads to some thoughts and some conversations and stuff. And so go back and watch this one and the last few weeks and just see this whole concept of managing emotions. So awesome. So grateful. Listen, if you're watching, let me really quick say, if you don't know Jesus, listen, that I don't care what you do. I don't care what kind of tools, techniques you have, what kind of emotions you manage. None of that stuff matters, because life is, you ain't going to live 400 years, 1,000 years. This life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. At some point, we're leaving the planet. And when we leave the planet, you're going to go either to heaven or to hell, period, point blank. You want to be able to spend eternity with Jesus. The only way we do that is not by us doing right, this, that. We're not good enough to earn God's righteousness. He gives that to us as a free gift. And so if you don't know Jesus, it's time to ask him to your heart. Or maybe you say, Pastor, listen, I said the prayer, and man, I tell you, there was a time where I was doing well, and I just have backslid. I'm so far disconnected from the Lord. Well, you need to rededicate your life to Christ and do it now. Let's not waste time. Let's not play games. Let's not play games with life. Let's deal with it right now in the moment. So if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I need salvation. Jesus, come into my life and live big. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my wrongdoings. I believe what the Bible said, that God sent you to die on the cross for my sins. But 3 days later, he raised you from the dead. I believe that with my heart. I make you my Lord. And because of that, I'm saved and I'm forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. So God be the glory. I believe somebody got born again. I believe that somebody rededicated their life to Jesus Christ. Let us know, though. Email us at christianfellowshipnewlife@gmail.com. They'll put it up on the screen. Email us your name, your date of birth. Let us know that you got born again. Let us know that you rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And you may be watching saying, man, I need to be part of this ministry. And I've been saying this, even when we're in the pandemic, New Life is not the only ministry. I would never say that. You just had the Austins on here. They Agape Church, you may feel they are the voice for you. You can join Agape Church. You can find them on Instagram. You can find them on Facebook. Find them on YouTube. They may be the ones. If you feel like you're supposed to be here, you email us and you let us know. I need to be part of this church family. I love you all. I appreciate the extra time. Listen, we needed this time because this is the last time we're going to deal with this topic until next year. So praise God. I pray that you're blessed. Amen. Excited about it. Love you all. See y'all soon. Peace.